have a Venezuelan family living with us. And the really cool thing is, the Lord's using us to speak truth into their lives, but they're pouring back into the ministry. And so it's a blessing to us too, because we have help. And a huge help to me in the house, because I'll let y'all know, I'm not the one cooking for these 14 people. I have help doing that. Because Lord knows I could not handle that, for sure.
With four kiddos.
Yeah, with four kiddos. And my main ministry is the kiddos right now. Our kids, pouring into them, homeschooling. And I do have girls that come over and I'll minister to, but my main concentration right now is the kids, for sure.
Amen.
We have a wedding coming up on the 7th. Mm-hmm. Lord willing, we're hoping that it doesn't rain. So, and this is a family that we've been discipling and help them reconcile. And that's part of our ministry too, with our family, reaching other families to use our family as a vehicle for discipleship and reconciling to the Lord.
And it's a backyard wedding. It'll be here at our house. So.
Good. I know a little of the backstory. I know that's taken a long time to pull that off. I think, we've talked about what happened during the lockdowns but I think it would be good to get a little bit of your perspective on what it was like. There was a level of care the government's trying to provide. They dictate a certain level of lockdown, but the reality was some people needed to fill in the gap. So if you could talk a little bit about that, because I think your experiences were a little bit different than ours here in Texas. But I think to get actually y'all's firsthand perspective would be good.
Our lockdown was a literal lockdown. They were only allowing one person per household out a day, and alternating, like Monday, Wednesday was men, Tuesday, Thursday women. And so I was pregnant during that time, and with the craziness, I just thought there's no need for me to go out. And thankfully, with the ministry and the church we have in Pueblo Viejo and the needs, Dan was able to take out a pass, and he started, the food outreach there to give. Because, the government was helping some, but most of the help, I think, came from just the missionaries here locally that were passing out food either twice a week or once a week, some groups. Or some of them were just once every few months whenever they had donations come in.
But there was lots of people who said that they didn't receive any help from anybody, and they were very thankful. And I think a few people, said they hadn't eaten for 2 or 3 days. And so that was our work there.
And we would pass out beans or lentils, rice, toilet paper, a bag of noodles. And sometimes a local grocery store or other local stores would donate. So we'd have like tuna to go with that, or cooking oil, or just different things, cans of milk.
And we continued to gather in homes. It was, it was a smaller, smaller gathering, but I think it brought us together a little closer. We didn't let, fear take over. So we're thankful. We're thankful for that.
And it was our whole house. Like we had, the table lined up. We had everything on the table. People were measuring out the beans and the rice and putting them in bags. And I was doing stuff. The kids were helping with stuff. So it was a whole family, like assembly line, doing this. And our whole downstairs, it's a pretty good sized house, was full, like full of sacks of food for months on end. And
thank you all for donations.
We had funds come in that we could have never imagined that was possible. It was amazing, because to be able to feed 600 families twice a week is costly. But God provided, and we are so thankful.
And at times more.
Mm-hmm. And we never went without. We never had to just eat rice or lentils. You know, the Lord provided for our household this whole time.
Yeah, apart from the group that we had at our local gathering, we also had random people from the neighborhood show up to our house.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the deaf community, we knew of a lot of families that struggled, and so Dan would go out on his route from going to Pueblo Viejo, and he would, deliver that.
People who were disabled, mm-hmm. or old people, or just people that they were just in bed, or people that we had to make visits to.
And during all that, I had my pregnancy, and we delivered a healthy baby girl at home, and she'll be a year old in about 2 weeks. So,
wow.
God was faithful throughout everything.
Wow. Amen. Whew. Sorry, it's getting to me. It's been a while since I've been down. Whew. Any questions? They can see you. They can see you that way.
Love you guys.
Hey.
We actually partnered with them in that they lived in our house for a little while. And so seeing them, doing that, it's just warms my heart. And obviously, they're awesome monsters. I know the lockdowns have been lifted there. So from the standpoint of, I've been seeing some stuff in South America as far as like new surges. Is there any concern about the again for you guys, or do you feel like that's passed in the region?
I think it's passed, and I don't know, I say this loosely, we're kind of like jungle rules or jungle law, it's things are a little more calm here rather than in Lima or the more modernized cities, where there has to be more structure. It's been a little, we've had the same, I guess, rules and laws, but it's been a little bit more loose here, thankfully. But I think with the new president coming in, and just with Peru and the economy, it's just, they haven't been doing well. I think they're fearful if they put down another lockdown and we lack tourism, there will be nothing coming in, to the country. And so I don't anticipate another lockdown. We don't really know. Another prayer point would be with the new president, and with the new president in any country, things can change. And
you mentioned just briefly the deaf churches, deaf people you're reaching out to. I don't know if everybody, I know about it, and Paul and some others know about there. If you could talk a little bit about that, I think there's some that would like to hear more about that outreach as well, and how the Lord brought you into that, and where that's.
Yeah, I was asked I was asked to disciple some deaf, and I thought that I would get a translator, but there was no translator, so it started off with a big dry erase board, and little by little learning sign language and trying to teach them, but I didn't think I was going to be able to communicate in the future. I just was just trying to do what I could do. But, 6 years later, we can communicate. I get to share a message, pray with them, talk to them. And they come over, right? They come around 11:30 or 12, and they gather here at our house outside in the backyard. They have a service. One of the ones I discipled is now a pastor for a year and a half, and no, 2 years already, and he's getting married. We're looking to maybe build another leader, and there's one of the deaf lives with us here, and he tries to lead as well, and his name is Pepe. We're thankful that the Lord gave us the deaf, because it's a very special ministry, and our kids love them. They're learning sign language as well. And we're very thankful to have them. And it definitely helps with, you know, growing some patients and learning new things. It's a different culture altogether.
And so with the leader getting married, thankfully, the Lord brought to us another missionary that was living in another part of Peru, a young lady, and she's now helping with the deaf here. So Sosimo, which is a deaf pastor, he's getting married in Lima. And so we have Morgan here now, she's helping us with the deaf. So the Lord has blessed us with an amazing just ministry and outreach, but we only have four hands amongst, you know, the two of us. So the Lord has brought helpers recently, and just with training up the guys, it's been a big relief, you know, because to see them grow and like get out there and to.
Yeah, I haven't preached in over a month because the guys are taking over. And
yeah, that's good.
And I think that's awesome to be able to see that fruit now.
That is awesome. Any other questions? Former. Why don't you think about that for a second?
Yes.
And then we'll let
Fred... Now we have a family that's staying. Oh. Right now we have a family that's staying with us. They moved in yesterday. They're from a local community of people we've discipled, and they're from the Yina tribe. And we heard that the baby was born with looks like tumors, but I think it's just a deformity
and abnormality.
Yeah, and so the baby was having convulsions, and we're gonna send them to Lima as soon as they get a
birth certificate.
Yeah, birth certificate. So they're staying here, and we're hoping they'll be out by Wednesday. And so there's opportunities like that where we've had a couple of injured people that we've helped send them to Lima for a bigger hospital and better help. And so
in the jungle, we don't have specialists. We had a friend recently got in a motorcycle accident, hit his head. He had to wait a day and a half before he had any kind of head trauma care. Like there was nothing.
So
pray just for that, and then our safety too, because the Lord obviously wants us here, and he has protected us, you know.
And we're also thankful for all your help, because we get to use those funds for the kingdom, even like helping a brother and sister out to get help. And the Lord just provided very faithfully.
He's provided so much. Like where Dan has called me and said, hey, there's a couple, or there's three adults on the way, and they're going to stay with this. Oh, that's great. I'll be home soon. And then they get here and there's 10 people. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Well,
that doesn't happen often, but it has.
It happens, but you know, God just always provides.
So. All right. Have you been once or twice?
Right? Also prayer. That's what one more thing to pray about. One of the guys I was discipling that was living here, he'll be planting soon in another city, and we want to visit and encourage the people he's starting to gather with.
And future building for a home and ministry site is a big prayer request. So
Jana is here, and she's going to recirculate some of these over our Facebook page and over our newsletter, so we can have these and revisit them. So, because there's probably more that you may think of. Yeah. Okay, Fred. Fred's got a question. Fred's been to Peru in what, 2009 and 14?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Fred's
Fred.
Fred's made the run. Yeah.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah,
miss you too.
You.
Well, we do communicate with Freddie. There's been times that I've asked him if I can go stay over there, because every time I would visit Cusco, I'd stay in Atec just because it's convenient for the work that I'm doing.
And he's asked you to teach at Atec a few times.
Yeah, and so, but since this started, I haven't been able to go, but I think Atec started up again, and they're probably doing things a little in a smaller scale, but they're visiting the communities a little more than rather having people come in.
Is he still in the States, Freddie?
And I think he's in the States visiting Don, I guess, Don. I believe. Uh-huh.
And with, we've kept in contact with a lot lately with Francisco's family, you know, with his passing. And I've been talking to his daughter, Abigail, a lot. And she wants to come here and she wants to work with us and just do some outreach in children's ministry. So she's looking to visit us and just, so we're going to get them over here, Lord willing, you know, and then we'd love to go back over there and visit too. So there's been open communication really frequently.
Good. Good. All right. Anybody else? All right, 2015, 2013. He's been there.
Hey, hey Scotty.
You're gonna pray.
I think practically would just be the day to day like provision for the household and the growing ministry, and then we're formulating a building plan. We don't really know what that looks like yet. I have a friend, well, the Blackburns are other friends of ours that have a children's home, and the land that we have is out close to them, and so we have some building plan ideas, but we're not quite, it's just super early stages, so just for building basically.
Yeah, and we want to keep this model, but us kind of separating from everybody where we can, you know, pull away from from, you know, the crowd, but
have our family house and then like the ministry house next door, so we could have our family time, you know, and it's not.
And this wasn't really on our mind too much. We prayed about it a little bit, but my sister Sachiko and her friend Alma came and visit, and they said, "We're not leaving till we buy a piece of land." and I felt a little kind of weird. I was like, I don't like to jump into things like that, you know?
But God just kind of like opened doors after that, and we bought 3 hectares.
Yeah, it's about 7 acres.
About 7 acres of land that we have. So y'all come on down.
For those of you that don't know, the Blackburns, they were on the ground about a year before these guys moved down. Somewhere a year or so after that, we started handling all their U.S. funding. Scotty does most of the legwork on that. And so since they're Canadian, they've got contributors in Canada, but they've got U.S. friends in order to benefit from taxes and just, you know, get the most advantage out of the funds. So out of that's come a relationship. I meet with Scott and Dan at least once a month and talk. Sometimes I'll catch him on a solo call also, just so they can have that kind of support. But they're great family. So as a church, we actually do some things with them, and so the land opening up right next to them was a real benefit. So and we're gonna have the Blackburns in at a future time for a quick chat also.
also the land that we have there, it's next to two homes, the Lenses and the Blackburns. Oh. And I think it would complement their ministry, because we would be able to pour into some of those kids, helping discipleship. And the Lenses might have around 20 something kids.
Yeah.
And they have kind of a,
it's a mix between maybe like 5-6 years old to what, like 17.
Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. Vladimir, the one that's, Vladi and Jared, the guys that are taking over, the congregation in Pueblo Viejo, I met them at, I think, 13 or 14 years old.
Well, you met Vladi for the first time at like 11 or 12. And then when you really started discipling him, probably around 14.
Yeah, I started discipling them around 14 years old, somewhere around that age. And so, it's possible that, you know, some of these kids will benefit from, you know, these other young guys living there. And so I don't know what it's going to look like, but we would really like to be led by the Lord, and that the Spirit will lead us, and that we're not that there's no confusion, and that we can be led well. And so we could definitely ask for that prayer, and funds are going to be very important.
Out there we would need a whole solar panel system. The Blackburns, that's what they use. It's kind of outside of town, so there's no like electricity out there, but they have a really awesome system, and it hasn't failed them. It's been doing really great. And another, just to kind of sidetrack, when he was talking about the guys and people that we've discipled, a big majority of these people that we're in contact with and we've discipled, and people that live with us, knew Brian and Delana. So those relationships were not forgotten when they left. So just in case, in the back of your mind or anything, it's like we have a connection with a lot of those people still.
Good.
And another thing we didn't mention, we have 8 seminary students. We did not ask them to start. They were asking me if they can start. And I usually tell them yes and don't talk about it for a while till they keep asking me. And then I look into it. You know, why you want to start seminary. And it's brought out 4 leaders that are leading in congregations now. And we have one in prison as well that we started discipling and started mm-hmm. the seminary classes.
You started seminary after he was in prison, but not before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, can we pray for you guys?
Yes.
Is that good? You got anything else that you want to throw out? Because, you know, like, we're going to start praying. People are going to get a little emotional and, you know, like. So anything else you want to throw out before we pray?
I want to say thank you, everybody who works, you know, that nobody knows what, you know, Paul's doing, how many times I call him and tell him I need this, and Scotty doing, you know, the desk work and the computer work mm-hmm. and the spreadsheet, and you who sacrificially give, I'm just very thankful.
And, you know, Eva reaching out, Jana and Elena reaching out, and just, I mean, we're not forgotten, so it means a lot.
You are not. You are not. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand just in honor of the Nagals and their work and their offering to the Lord that we're all doing, but they're the tip of the spear, the implement, whatever analogy you may want to use. I'm going to ask Scotty to pray, because Scotty deals with a lot of Peru stuff, and just to hear a fresh voice, and he's been there. So we love you guys. And we're going to just bless you and honor you as a church body. So, you know, you if we have somebody up here, sometimes we lift our hands, and we do that in agreement and also to signify blessing. So believe it or not, you can still do that even if they're in Peru. I mean, if you so feel led to, just because, you know, it'll still reach them. Well, Scotty, would you? Thank you, Father. Jesus.
In your favor.
Yeah.
Amen.
God, there are so many good works that are being done down there. There are so many connections within the body of Christ that you are touching people's lives all around Andrew and to them directly, Father. Lord, bless those connections. Bless that family. Lord, I pray for the work that they're doing to expand your kingdom. And it will continue to bear fruit even after they're gone. Whenever that is, Lord, in 100 years, people will be talking about, oh yeah, I knew the guys. And they brought me into this family, this loving body of Jesus Christ. God, we talk about provision, something that just, it feels like it's the things that have to be done to be able to move. Practical, so that we can focus on the spiritual, Father. It's all intertwined, and it is all yours, Father. You are in control.
Yes, Jesus.
Your provision is being handed out by God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
We love them so much, and we just want them to know, Father, that our love and your love is covering them.
Mm-hmm.
We bless them.
Yeah.
In the family and what they're growing individually as a small unit, Father, and expanding and loving them around the world.
Father, we agree as a church family that every weapon that's formed against the gals would not prosper in any way. We speak your just love and your kingdom protection over them, and we declare your banner over them is love. And we thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is always moving forward, and it's moving forward in Peru, it's moving forward here in the Brazos Valley, and Lord, no matter what it looks like in the world around us, there's opportunities for us to move forward. So we speak blessing, we honor Dan and Ruth and the whole family. We bless the Blackburns and the Lentzes and the other folks down, ministry folks down there, the Fitzgeralds. Lord, we speak blessing over them. There's a window of opportunity and hunger there that's not closed yet, and it's wide open. And so we just pray, Lord, for more in everything that they have need of, for your kingdom to just move forward and to expand and for the gospel to be heard. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you guys.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, could you give me maybe a couple seconds real quick? Here's... Phoebe.
Oh.
And I'm gonna take you real quick to the other kids. I know Barbie would get mad if I didn't do this. Hello guys.
Hello.
okay, and some of the...
It's Dan Cam.
Death.
Hola.
And it's Josiah.
Hey, little friend. This is Josiah and Sarah and Daniel.
Danielito.
Hola. Español en inglés.
Y yo también.
So they speak Spanish and English, and he said, and Josiah said, me too. Gracias.
All right, thanks,
Dan.
Did
you guys get to see them?
We love you guys.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Hey.
Hi, Paul.
Good gosh. Oh my gosh, she's grown up.
Gracias, amigos.
All right, there we go. Woo. Okay. We have been going to Peru since 2009. I have made 11 trips there. Most of them between 10 and 14 day trips. Haven't been since lockdown started. We haven't taken a group in, 2017 we brought a group? Catherine, when did we go? That was the last time we had a group. Yeah, was it 17? I think it was. Turn your Bibles to Luke 19. We wanted to take our time with that. The next times that we have updates or some of our other folks, we've got a ministry in Pakistan that we're starting a connection with, and I want to have the Blackburns on. So those might be a little shorter segments, but Dan and Ruth are kind of special, and we didn't want to rush that. I hope you enjoyed it. So for that reason, I am not going to take my usual time period. Even though by some standards, I'm not long-winded, but, you know, sometimes I can I can keep going. Well, I said nothing, Kev. So, Luke chapter 19. And we're not going to read the entire story. We're going to focus in on one aspect of it, but there's something new that I haven't seen in this. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, and this is in line with that. This is Luke 19. We're going to start at verse 11. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. We're going to get into the Greek and break that down a little further at a future topic. That's an interesting time period. This is the question that's kind of always on people's mind. From our standpoint, we pose the question, when's Jesus coming back? That's like, and we're notoriously bad at getting the timing, you know, and at least people that have tried to be specific about the timing have had a hard time pinning that down. And obviously, I checked this morning, he's not back yet. However, he was with us in worship. So the point being, it says they were assuming it was going to appear at once, and he brings this idea and to try to shape their future thinking. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. That sounds odd, but if you think about Herod, he was a governor underneath Rome. So this is not unheard of in their culture. They had a framework for this. So a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas and put this money to work, he said, until I come back. I'm reading out of the NIV. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained from it. So, man of noble birth leaves. He's going to be made a king. And he tells his servants, there's some things I want you doing while I'm gone. But the things that they're going to be doing are against the backdrop of some public sentiment. Now, this is the only gospel that records this part of the parable of what's usually called the parable of the talents. The other gospels don't have the part about the master returning and killing everybody who didn't like him. But it's included here in Luke. And so there's an interesting angle to this, and I hadn't really caught this, even though I've read this story in the other gospels as well, and in this one. But he says this. He distributes some money, and he says, put this to work until I come back. If you've grown up in church, the word that usually comes to mind connected to this is occupy. He says, occupy until I return. And it's a word that, for instance, in the English Standard Version says, engage in business until I come, which is a good rendering. The New Living Translation says, invest this until I get back. The New King James Version says, do business until I come. So that's kind of similar to the ESV. But the King James says, occupy. And you know, we say, well, we want to keep our children occupied. We don't want to just put them on a screen. We want them doing some things that are engaging. So we sort of have a reference for this. The other reference for occupy is this idea, if you've grown up in a military family or you served in the military, you know occupation carries some of these ideas, but it's a little broader. When you've won a territory or you've gained a territory, you don't just leave. There's a power vacuum. That creates a whole new set of problems. You could go to a place, solve some problems, but if you disengage completely, nature abhors a vacuum and something will fill that void unless you manage that situation. So occupation in the military sense is something that is kind of where my mind goes, because I like the way the King James renders it. But I also like that idea, and it's not inconsistent with what's being presented here. We need to do stuff until he gets back. We need to fill the void until he gets back. If we don't represent authority of our kingdom, our ideals, and we do that differently than the way the kingdoms of the world do it, if we're not doing that, something else will. And as we've discussed, the contrast between Babylon and Jerusalem, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, if Christians aren't engaged in the world, something is going to fill the void of our engagement. We need to write great stories. We need to run great businesses. We need to make great films. We need to be the best teachers. We need to be engaged in our world in such a way that there is not a void that the kingdom of darkness or the Babylon systems will step in so they can exercise their influence. So we occupy. Now, what's unique about the Western world, you know, our world, Texas, you know, we say, well, it's a red state, a lot of churchgoers. There's still a lot of folks that need to know the gospel here. Despite the fact that you can drive down several churches, pass them on your way to get to this church. In some places in America, that's not the case. The gospel, the church has retreated. So there's voids to be filled everywhere. The void in Peru is unique. Never been to a place like it. I've been to a few places in the world, obviously a lot of places I've never been. But the hunger for the gospel there is amazing. You can literally go to a neighborhood. We did this once. We had some food and a little Bible study for kids. We gathered 85 people in about 20 minutes. Hey, we're going to have a Bible study. Want to come? Pow. Try that in one of your neighborhoods. See what your response is. It's different here, isn't it? We've got a cultural standard for what we think church should be that's a lot higher. We got more infrastructure that we have to support. There's a level of technology and comfort, and we could say those things, you know, we could debate the truths of that, but the reality is that that's that's what our cultural expectations are. There, it's very different. So while there's plenty of work to be done here, but the hunger level's different, there's a beauty in us being partnered in places in the world where you can literally just go someplace with a soccer ball and a bag of fruit and somebody's going to get saved. So we've got to occupy here so we can advance there. Does that make sense? So I was newly married, brand new sales job with a big Fortune 500 company, and that sounds impressive. One of the things I realized in my 20s was a lot of really big corporations have tremendous levels of stupidity and mismanagement. It's paradoxical. Anyway, some big companies are obviously well run. But here I was, this fresh-faced kid, and I'm going into sales training, and the sales trainers kind of said casually offhand, well, the Austin market, we don't really have any expectations of growth in that market. What we'd really like to do is just hold our market share. And that kind of hit me kind of like, man, that's kind of like dropping the expectations a little, right? You know, like, but even with a well-run company, you're going to shed some, you're going to gain some, but they wouldn't say this up front, but privately what they would say amongst themselves, well, we think we can grow in this market, and we think we can grow in this market. It's a lot of competition, or there's a lot of product already there in this market, but if we could hold our ground here, it's part of the big picture. Now, I'm not settling for that mindset, but you understand what I'm saying? We got to occupy. We got to occupy. We got to fill in voids. But we've got opportunities where there's a lot of fish that are easy to catch, and that's why we partner in the ways that we partner. There's a lot of things that happen here during the week that you may not know about if you're somewhat new to us. During the school year, for instance, there's about 100 high school students that are here from Bryan High doing Young Life, which is a pure evangelistic event. And we told some friends a few years ago, we host Young Life at our church, and they said, please don't kick them out. They make a mess. They break things. We're like, yeah, they do. It costs something. But we want to partner in some pure evangelism. Right? So there's what we do on Sundays, and then there's what we do in our world, whether it's in Peru, whether it's in our own community. We have a homeschool center here. We want to hit above our weight class, folks, and I think we do that as a church. But COVID's kind of, you know, it is what it is. It's slowed some things down. We're researching doing Big Life Sunday again, and the reality is it's going to be different. If you'd like to be part of that conversation, if you'd like to be part of revamping that and getting that back on the ground, and if you're new to us, Big Life is a Sunday where we get out in our community and we serve. We fix stuff. We visit stuff. We encourage people. We spend some time with people that don't get a lot of attention paid to them, because this is what the kingdom of God does. We need to be out in our world. We need to be doing stuff. Amen? If you want to be part of that conversation, I know Jana would welcome ideas, suggestions, some help with that. Normally, you know, we'll do some work projects and we'll go visit nursing homes. There's just some parameters around that are different now. It's going to be different. So if you'd like to help with that, please do that. But we're going to be re-engaging. There's other ways we're reaching out into our community, and we're going to pick those back up again or reinvent them, because this is what we need to be doing, guys. Amen? So go ahead and stand up. Now, I find it interesting that this particular, we'll talk about this more in the future, but those that were asked to serve, here's some resources, go do something with it. And most of us know the story. Two of the three folks took what the master had given them and put it to work and grew the investment. One person just said, I'm going to hide it away. And the master wasn't happy about that. But in this story, I don't think we talk about the reality that Jesus puts in here that they were operating in an environment that did not like their master. And was that a factor in how that third person responded? I think it must have been. Otherwise, it wouldn't be included in the story. Hey, we don't like that guy. We hate that guy. I don't want to invest. I'll just hide. I'll hide my stuff. And I'll come up with an excuse when he gets back. And guess what? The excuse didn't fly. We hate that guy. We hate your master. He's not going to be our king. Oh, guess what? He ended up being their king. And those that engaged despite the public sentiment or the public pressure, they were promoted. And those that hid, well, it's a rough story. All right. Father, we just bless you today. We thank you for the opportunity to see our friends. We thank you for your kingdom, which is ever advancing. We thank you that no matter what the world around us is saying, if you say engage in business, occupy, invest, do business, that's what we need to do. So Holy Spirit, I pray you would just give us a blank slate to enter this next season. Engage our creativity. Show us how we can serve. Show us how we can love. Show us how we can fill in the voids and the gaps that are in our world. If we need to retire some things along the way, we understand. We just ask you to speak to us. Draw the boundaries for us. Help us engage with our creativity and your creativity, and out of that something beautiful can be seen. New ways to serve, new ways to engage, new ways to love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He lift up his countenance upon you this day and give you his peace. Go enjoy a great Sunday. Amen. Amen. Amen.